ask you also be praying for Donna. She's home, just kind of pre-pneumonia stages for her. She does this on occasion with her health. She went to the doctor yesterday morning, and they put her on prednisone and antibiotics. She's starting to fill up a little bit, but not quite to the pneumonia stage yet. So I told her to stay in bed and stay off her feet and to treat herself like an old woman. She said, "No, I'm not an old woman yet." He said, no, just keep yourself warm. Don't use any energy for anything other than healing. Just stay and drink lots of tea and soup and get better. So be in prayer for Donna. So she's not here, so there won't be any children's church today. I'd like to apologize for last week's message. I don't know who was here, but it was my evil twin brother, I think, preaching. I just felt lost out there. And if it came across that way, well, you should have come to the second service that I did with Diedrich's church. I think that was probably the best sermon of the day. I did three separate sermons. Didn't do the same one each time. And for the three different groups of people that I was preaching to. So that's why I went that direction. But that one was a good one. So, but we're still going to try to touch on last week's just a little bit as we're building forward in Isaiah, as we're working our way through. So my apologies. I pray that you are reading through these passages yourselves and studying them so that if I did miss something or something, come back to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, what about this?" And I'll be happy to talk to you about it. Because I can't always bring up everything that's there. Or maybe I said something that was out of line. If you're not reading yourself, you can't hold me accountable. And you need to hold me accountable. Don't trust me just because I'm the pastor. Please, check what I say against God's word so that what you hear, what I'm saying, if it doesn't line up with God's word is what you got to go with. So we're in Isaiah 28 this week. 38, orthographical error. You know what I meant. Chapter 28 is not where I'm at. I'm at 38. Let's try this again. Isaiah 38. Okay. Our suffering is for our benefit. Let's read this passage. It's about Isaiah's illness, and this is actually chronologically prior to last week's events. So, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly, devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, "Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down the stairway of Ahaz." So the sunlight went back down the 10 steps it had gone down. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. "I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord. The Lord is in the land of the living. No longer will I look on mankind or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you make an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones. day and night. You made an end of me. I cried like a swifter thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am troubled, O Lord. Come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me, and He Himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you, as I am doing now. Fathers, tell your children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and He will sing with stringed instruments. And in the days, and all the days of our lives, in the temple of the Lord, Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs and apply it to the boil, and he will recover. Hezekiah had asked, What will be the sign that I will go up to the temple of the Lord? Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, and I pray right now for your anointing to be upon me as I preach. Lord, as I come to preach this day, might I preach in your truth and in your power. Lord, I cannot and I do not want to, I even attempt to preach in and of myself. That Lord, might you speak through me. Might you empower me in such a manner that I speak your words and not my own. And what people hear is your truth and your voice speaking to them this day, that they might be encouraged and blessed, brought closer to you, a better understanding of your will for them and how to follow you. Lord, be present here in the hearing of your word, in the speaking of your word, in the preaching of it this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we looked at chapters 36 and 37, which is all about this time following this, where we have the nation, the people of, come on, who are those people? The bad guys. Assyrians, that's right. The Assyrians, they were coming after them. And because Hezekiah had gone through what we see here in chapter 38, he was able to stand strong against the Assyrians that we saw in chapters 36 and 37. Okay? So the deliverer that Hezekiah experienced that in chapter 38 is what gave him the strength to stand strong against the oppressor in 36 and 37. I just want to compare verse 20 of 38 here with verse 38 of 37. Let's look at 37, 38 first. And Fred, if you can find that, I'd appreciate it. But Isaiah 37, verse 38, says, one day, while he was worshiping the temple of his God, okay, here we're speaking of the king of Assyria, of his god Nisroch, his sons came, Adramelech and Shizar, and cut him down with a sword, and they escaped to the land Ararat and Esharadon, and his son succeeded him, and Esharadon, his son, succeeded him as king. Okay? Now here we see that the king of Assyria cut down in the temple of his God by his sons, those who were supposed to protect him, those who were supposed to provide him with help. They weren't the help that he needed. In fact, they are the ones who cut him down. Now let's look at Isaiah 38:20. And here we have this juxtaposition of these two verses. And this is now Hezekiah receiving the Lord will save me, and he will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. Because Hezekiah received the blessing of God. He was able to go to the temple, that place of salvation, that place of protection, to go to the Lord and be blessed. We see the one was trusting in God, the other one was trusting in a false idol. We see it time and time again. People who trust in that which is not worthy of our trust. Sometimes it looks really good, but yet we fail. Fred, we've got a video. Do you have that? Okay, let's show this video. I'm sure most of you, if not all...
Dawn of a fatal day, and the wind begins to speak with a roar that no man can fail to hear. In a 40-mile-an-hour gale, the center span weaves like a ribbon in a swinging twist that you wouldn't believe possible unless you could see it as you do now. There's an automobile caught on the heaving roadway. The 11,000-ton center span twists and strains the giant cables that support it. Cables of 6,300 wire strands, each 17 inches thick. Danger zone, all stricken spectators are driven to safety as the bridge gyrates like a nightmare high above the river, twisting, turning, curling. The lone motorist is forced to abandon the car. He has but a few minutes in which to save himself. Face to face with fate, his destiny hanging in the balance. Will he heed the last warning or perish with the doomed structure? He saved himself by seconds. No structure of steel and concrete can stand such a strain. Steel girders buckle and giant cables snap like puny threads. There it goes!
Now, does that mean we can't trust bridges? Some of them. 35W bridge fell here just a few years ago, 5 years ago. That bridge went down. I'd driven across that bridge many a time. Then one day, down it went. And then I went to minister to the people whose loved ones were lost underneath that bridge. This is an example of putting our trust in something. Did you notice the guy whose car was on the bridge? And he's kind of like sauntering off the bridge like it's like no big deal. He doesn't really believe that he's in danger. If we're putting our faith or trust in anything but God, people, we are in danger. But it's only when we go through difficult times and we've been through stress, things have been stress test, that we know that they'll survive. The Tacoma Bridge hadn't been properly stress tested. Okay? This bridge, when it got the right wind coming from the right direction, all of a sudden it set up this resonance, harmonic resonance, which caused the bridge to fail. It got swinging because it hadn't been tested. They didn't know it. They thought they had tested everything that they could, but they didn't know what to test for. Now they know another thing to test for when they test bridges. In the same way, our lives are tested. And we don't know who to trust or what to trust until we go through testings. Okay? Now that they tested the bridges, we know that the bridges can now, the bridge that is currently over that Tacoma Narrows has been tested, and it can withstand those forces which caused that particular bridge to fail. The new bridge over the Mississippi on 35W has been tested. And it should be safe. I've driven across it, not been afraid. Because I'm trusting in the testing. I said, they wouldn't build it wrong the second time. Maybe I should be afraid. But in our lives, it's when we've gone through times of testing that we know not to be afraid, what to count on. Have you ever had a friend, somebody who you thought would really be there in tough times, but then things did get tough and you looked around like they're gone? They're the ones who turn their back on you. Maybe they're the first ones to stick the knife in the back. Maybe you have a name for that person. It's human. It's people. Okay? But relationships. I know to trust Donna because we've gone through some tough times together. And our relationship has grown stronger. In the same way, as we go through life, God takes us through these difficult times to strengthen us, to test us, to show us that we can count on Him, that He will not abandon us, that He will not forsake us, that He will not leave us, that He will be there for us in those dark times. This is what we see Hezekiah doing. He turns his face to the wall and he prays. He's been given the pronouncement that you're done for, dude. You're going to die. Well, guess what? You're going to die. Each and every one of you here, you will die. You will not survive this earth, this life. You will not survive it. You're not getting out of here alive. Now, Hezekiah, he had a little bit shorter time frame on his. He was told, put your affairs in order. So he turned to God. He turned out all the things that distract him. He turned his face to the wall. I don't know about you, but... Oh, isn't that kind of cool over there? I'm supposed to be praying over here. I'm sorry. Preaching a sermon. That's right. I get distracted. Amanda, shiny. I saw that. Isn't that cool? We had hail yesterday, then 60 degrees, then snow today. Like, hold it. Pastor, you're all distracted. Yeah, that's right. That's why when we pray, we need to remove those distractions. We need to turn to God. He turned his face to the wall. Why? So that other stuff wouldn't distract him. And then he prayed. Who did he pray to? To God, the creator of the universe, the guy whose names I got on this tie. Prayed to him. And God heard his prayer. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is no, but I will be with you. Sometimes it's yes, and I am still with you. But it's always, and I am with you. He does not leave us or forsake us. He does not abandon us in our times of difficulty. In fact, it's having gone through these difficult times that we know that we can trust in God, that He won't go against His word. He will not show Himself to be false because He cannot. He is not false. He is true. He is just. Now, we can trust Him to do that which He promises us, and He has promised that He will bring us discipline if we need it. Trust us, we need it. Each of us different. I've got three boys. They all needed to be... Three boys. They all needed different discipline. They all needed discipline. But each one was different. You know, I could spank Ryan all day long. We wouldn't move him one bit. Now, if I tell him I'm upset with him, well, that... You know, that kind of broke his heart. But spank him? Hit me again. That was just him. You know, okay? So spanking wasn't the best way to discipline him. Again, each of us are different. So God disciplines each of us different. You're going to go through different trials than somebody else does. But He will be with you in that trial. And He will show you. And surely, it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. That's Hezekiah. He refers to the pain that he was going through as if he was, all his bones being crunched by a lion. That just sounds painful to me. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking he hurt. It wasn't like, ooh, I got a boo-boo. This man was in pain and anguish. Pain isn't as difficult a thing to go through for some people as it is for others. I know some people who cannot deal with pain. I know others, they just get cranky. But each of us is different. Here we have God dealing with Hezekiah. And he was moaning. He was crying. His eyes were weak. His bones felt like they were being crushed. But God was there with him. God was there with him. And because he was there with him, in that time of suffering, when he came to that time of trial later in his life, when he's king, and the king of Assyria comes and says, I'm going to take hold of you, and I am going to overcome you. Boy, I'm having a good day today. Ignore that. Even though all of he had, the king of Assyria had conquered all these other people, God had been there with Isaiah through all that, and God had spared his life and promised him 15 more years of life. And he had promised him that he would deliver them from the hand of Assyria. Okay, he's not just going that, okay, it's my desire that God deliver me from this, so I'm going to trust God and claim it as mine. No. He had the word of the Lord come to him. He had the prophet Isaiah come and tell him that God would deliver him from the hand of Assyria, that God would deliver Israel from the hand of Assyria. Okay, Jerusalem would be delivered from the hand of Assyria. He would not conquer his holy city in the time of King Hezekiah. So Hezekiah stood up and told the people, don't worry. Don't succumb to this bully's threats. Lean on God and He will get us through. And I can tell you that why? Because He got me through it years ago. So he stood strong because he knew it was tested. His faith was tried and true. wasn't just going on a feeling. He was going on experience. He'd experienced God's faithfulness. And that deepened his faith and trust in God. You know what? Donna and I have been through some tough times. And God has been there with us through those times. That's why we lean on Him when things get tough in our life. And when we have another problem come now, we don't say, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" We say, "Oh no, this is not nice. God, what do you want us to do?" And He will carry us through. Now, sometimes it's to be an example through the pain. Sometimes it's to learn a new lesson or to become even stronger than we were before. To draw us closer to each other and closer to Him. This is what Isaiah is telling us here. When he's laying this out, we have Hezekiah turning to God in prayer and God answering that prayer. And then standing on the faith that is built years later and being an example to the people of Jerusalem. We have this amazing difference between Hezekiah standing in the throne room of God, in the temple of God, and being blessed and having worship, and the king of Assyria going to the temple of his false god instead of finding protection, finding treachery and murder. We need to not put our trust and our faith in that which is false. We need to put our faith in God, in the Lord Almighty, who is faithful, who is merciful, who is loving. He disciplines us because He loves us. He takes us through these trials to prepare us for the ones that are yet coming that are more difficult. There are trials that I've gone through now that if I hadn't had the previous trials to strengthen me and to get me worked up, I couldn't have gone through this time. It just wasn't enough. It's a progression. We get stronger. We grow in the Lord. You don't start off being able to bench press 400 pounds. You start off as a newborn baby. Maybe able to grab on and hold on to somebody's thumb or finger. Not even able to pick up your own head. But as you go through life, you go through different trials and strengthen your muscles. You do this, you do that. You get stronger. And you can work yourself up to being able to bench 400 pounds. It's been a while. I doubt I could do 400 anymore. There was a time, but it's gone. We have these strengths that come from going through the trial. We've been stress tested. We've been made stronger. As a sword is beaten and folded over and beaten and folded over and beaten, a piece of metal is folded over, a sword is formed from that. It's stronger with each successive layer, as it's made of more and more layers, till literally there are 1,000 layers or more in this piece of metal, and it becomes stronger. Now, you could have stopped partway and had a pretty decent blade, but a master swordsmith will keep working on that, folding it and folding it and beating it until he gets just to where it can be made the best that it can be. That's what God does with us. He takes us into these times of trial for our benefit. Again, as Hezekiah said, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. God doesn't allow us to suffer or take us to these things to hurt us or just to play with us, but for our ultimate benefit and also for the benefit of others. Because Hezekiah's benefit of learning to trust in God allowed him to benefit the whole people of Israel, people of Jerusalem. Us today, we can look back at his example and say, oh, I get it. God delivered him from death, delivered him from pain that was so terrible. He knew he was going to die, yet God had mercy on him. And then he was able to stand up for God, before all the people, not just Israel, but also of the world. You don't think the other nations around noticed that King Hezekiah stood up and said no? That was pretty much the beginning of the end for Assyria. That's why his son, the king of Assyria's sons, turned against him in his own temple, and why eventually Babylon came and gobbled up Assyria. And eventually Jerusalem too, but because they saw what God had done. So today, turn your face to the wall and pray. What is your struggle? What is the difficulty that you're going through? What is the difficulty that we are going through as we go through our trials as a church? As we go through our trials as individuals, we need to turn to God in prayer and seek His face. And He will hear our prayer. And He will answer it. And He will be the one who's glorified in the end. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. And we give You praise and thanks. We thank You that You, God, are awesome. That You are wondrous. That You created the whole universe. And yet You care enough about each and every one of us to hear our prayers. To take us through difficult times. To set testings before us and struggles. Not to trip us up or to needlessly play with our emotions or our lives, but to strengthen us, to draw us closer to You, to build that bond so that it becomes so strong that nothing can break it. Lord, might we lean upon You and Your strength and not try to hold on in ours, but rest fully and completely into Your hand so that none can snatch us out. Father God, might we trust that You will care for us in all our needs. And that as we go through difficult times, You will always be there with us. That You will not abandon us. We praise You and thank You for this truth. That You are there for us, Lord. That we don't need to go through it alone. And that these things are meant to strengthen us. And to benefit us. Might we seek after those benefits, Lord. Focus on those things, that blessings that You would have us to receive. Instead of ignoring those blessings and focusing instead on the pain. Lord, let us focus on the blessings and Your truth and Your blessing, Your faith in us and Your faithfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, and we are going to close by singing.